Good. Can I just say that I'm really thrilled about the sun stand still. It's not what I'm preaching on, but I'm just absolutely thrilled about it. The Global Leadership Summit that we went to last October at Rising Brook, Steve Furtick was the last speaker on the last afternoon. What an absolute terrible spot to give anybody. We're there, you know, nodding off. I can't tell you, he electrified. I know, he electrified with his thoughts and his words. I went straight from there and bought Sun Stand Still off the thing, and I paid £12 for it. You know, if they'd have got £50 on it, I'd have bought it. You know, I'm just absolutely thrilled. For this series, we want everybody involved, everybody here, everybody at growth groups, right? Because we want to change the dynamics of Rugeley Community Church. I'm great to see the place is nearly full. I can remember a time when I first went to Pentecostal Church, and we had to get there half an hour before the service to queue outside to get a seat. You know, that's how church should be. Ooh. Trying to electrify me now. Right? But that's how church should be, shouldn't it? Yeah. As we move on to a larger location, we want to dream dreams that are big. That are bigger than big. Because God can fulfill it. Stephen and Fiona are here. They're at Citygate Bournemouth. And God has given them a, not them personally, but Citygate Church, a tremendous new building. You saw it there. And Pam and I went worshipping there when it was a B&Q warehouse. Right? They moved in there because the church had got, their own church had got to have some work done on it. And by the time they got back to the new church, the old church, they had to have two services because the numbers had doubled. You know, what can be done in a B&Q warehouse? What can be done in a place where God moves? Right? And that's the thing. It doesn't matter about the place. It's being where God is moving, where God wants us to do great things. I better get on to my sermon, otherwise I can... Okay, let's see if I can press the right button. I can. Right. Members of one body, right, and we're growing together today. That's our title, Growing Together. We want to grow together. We want to be people that are closely linked, closely intertwined. So where should we start? Okay. Love one another. That's the place where we're going to start. We're going to start with a place where we've got to be in that situation where we love one another. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And I was thinking about this and I think, well, did Jesus love Judas who betrayed him? Yeah. Yeah. He loved the one who was going to betray him. So we should have no problems here in loving one another, should we? We might have different temperaments, different personalities. You know, I might get up somebody's nose the way I preach, you know, and or something or other. But that should not stop us loving one another. And if we love one another, I love my wife and I want to see the best for my wife. And I hope she wants to see the best for me. I'm not going to question her on that. Just in case. But We want to love one another. We want to see the best for one another, don't we? We want to see the best for the church. And as we grow together, right, we're going to have new additions coming in, right? And they're going to be perhaps young people with different ideas, different things that they want to do, right? And praise God, yeah. And us, some of the older ones, are going to, you know. I got a thumbs up from somebody there, right? But you know, we have sown and they have grown, right? We do our job and let them do theirs and see God at work. That's what we want to see God at work. Love one another, you know, and it doesn't matter who they are. The command is to love them as Jesus loved me. So do you know the love of Jesus? I want to ask a question here. Perhaps there's somebody here that's not really met Jesus, right? That's not really had that personal encounter with him, right? I challenge you this morning, you know, have a personal encounter with Jesus. Find out how great God is, that he can take away your sin, that he can come into your life and transform it. So it does not matter who they are. The command is for us to love Jesus. In our garden, we try and plant different things. But especially in our greenhouse, when we grow in tomatoes, my wife plants marigolds in the greenhouse. Does anybody know why we plant marigolds in our greenhouse? Keeps the pests off. Keeps the pests off. It's known as companion planting, isn't it? Right? Now, there's a surprise. God loves companion planting. As we grow together, God puts us together, different people, and some of us, surprisingly enough, keeps the pests off. Not my words, it was Rosalie's. Right? Yes, it keeps the marigolds keep the white fly away, or they're supposed to. Right? And we have been companion planted by God into this place. Right? God has put us together so that we can benefit one another. The different temperaments we have as we grow together help to build each other up. If my tomatoes got an attack of whitefly, they'd suffer. And I have to use one of these dreaded chemicals to try and get rid of them. Right? But in the church, as we work together, different people of different things, then we grow together better. So, why should we grow together better? So we can achieve our maximum potential. I don't believe that we've scraped the bottom of the barrel for our maximum potential. We have some water butts in our garden. Now, water butts are fine, providing it rains. So, to maximise the potential, I have 9 water butts to maximise the potential. Right? And I'm thinking of getting another one. Right? You see, if we want to maximise our potential, then we have to collect the maximum we can when God pours out. Right? And that means we have to work together. Some of my water butts are linked together so that when they fall, it flows into the next one. If we want to maximize our potential, then we have to collect all that God has for us. We have to work together. And surprise, surprise, I can't do it without you. And you've got to be worried because you can't do it without me. I can't do it without you. And you can't do it without me. Now, that's either vitally important or it's a dreaded wish. But I believe it's vitally important that we see each other in that light. So, let's have a look. No plants achieve their full potential without good preparation. Now, did anybody see Gardener's World on Friday night? You missed it. Good. Well, I'll tell you a vital thing that Monty Don showed all keen gardeners. Monty Don had decided to place against a wall a clematis. And he got this clematis in a pot. Now, most of us would dig a hole and plop it in and water it and that's it. Monty Don dug a 2-foot deep hole. Right? And then he got some garden compost and manure and he filled it a foot full in the bottom. He then planted the clematis in it with the top of the clematis pot 4 inches below the soil level. Backfilled with soil, watered it well, and then stuck more manure and compost on the top of it. And then cut the long bits off the plant. Why would he go to all that much trouble? It's far easier just to stick it in the soil, isn't it? Why go to all that much trouble? Because Monty Don wanted that clematis to achieve its full potential. He wanted to make sure there was a glorious display of flowers up that wall. You know? Because he wanted to get the best out of his plant. I want, and you should want, to bring the best out of each one of us here in Rosary Community Church. I want to do the best I can in preparation to read my Bible and to meditate, to pray and spend time with God. You know, we can say these things, but if we want people to achieve their maximum, then we've got to put something in. We've got to be prepared to do something. It's not just turning up through the door and being fed at the cattle trough on a Sunday morning and expecting that to get you through the week. With these last few days, if we hadn't watered the plants, what would they have done in the week? Died. Surprise. If you're not getting something in the week, then you turn up half dead through the door on a Sunday morning. That's not just because you've lost an hour on the clock either. You will. That's the truth of the matter. If you've not done something for your preparation in the week, you turn up through the door half dead. And then expect Richard to do resuscitation on you. You should come through that door bursting with life because you've been doing those things in the week, because you've been going to your growth group and getting fed and feeding off one another, getting your preparation right. Now, there's also some perspiration involved in this. Whoa. Right? The plants need tending and watering to grow. Now, I persuaded Richard Smith that if he went and collected some well-rotted horse manure, I would collect it from his farm for my garden. He said yes. So I turned up there with my trailer, and there's this great big pile. He said he'd only have a bucket full of it. So I'm there, shoveling it into my trailer, filling my bag. My car went along like that, going. And I'd hardly touched this pile. And, of course, you have, it's not only collecting it that end, it's emptying it the other. Right? And so, of course, I quickly gave him a text. Can I have another load? Oh, yes. So I went and collected another load. But, you know, surprise, surprise, I worked up a bit of perspiration. As you do. It requires hard work if we're going to see us grow together and God's church grow. You have to put in some effort. It's not all going to be handed to you on a plate. Make time and have commitment to get the best. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as in fact you're doing. And I want to say this, you know, are you encouraging one another? How do you think we encourage one another? Have a think about it. How do you encourage one another? Now, I know some people talk to their plants. I've been told this. Right? I want to say, first of all, that I don't. Somebody's admitted they do. I can see their point. Because they're trying to encourage their plants. So guess what do we have to do? We talk to one another. That does mean getting together with one another. Being together. So, if we are to encourage one another, I wonder what happens when we don't get together. It's Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. You notice before he says, let us encourage one another, it says there, let us not give up meeting together. I don't believe Paul put that like that by accident, that he added it as a forethought, or an afterthought, or not a thought at all. He put it together because he knew it really mattered. That as we meet together, we encourage one another. Just by the fact that you're there, encourages people. So, the next bit is what you were all after when we're doing planting. Production. Now you may have noticed over last year that our garden produced. Right? But that was not without having to put some sterling work in, right, to prune the trees and to do everything else that they needed to produce their fruit. But in the end, they produced, and we were able to pick produce. And surprise, surprise, we need to be producing fruit. As we grow together, we need to produce fruit. In our greenhouse, we have these tomato plants. And as they're growing, the fruit form, and around July time, I'm watching them. And I'm watching these tomatoes gradually getting larger. And I'm waiting till they turn nice and red so I can pick the first one. Now, I must admit that normally the first one gets picked before it's properly red. Right? But that first tomato from the plant, it's absolutely gorgeous. We need to be producing fruit. Hebrews 10 again, I'll read that. We need to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's the fruit that we need to produce. As we grow together, we need to love one another. And it needs to spur us on to good deeds, good works, right? As we want to do for the church, so that the church will grow. And you know, we all have different gifts. We all have different things. And even when we're producing fruit, we still need to encourage one another. Doesn't mean that one bit of plant can go off and find its own way. No, we all still need to be together, encouraging one another. We have Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And those gifts need to work in between. I was watching one of the gardening programs, and this person was growing rambling roses, and they got a big tree, and they planted a rambling rose by, and the rose had gone all up through the leaves of this tree. And I thought, what a lovely picture of companion planting. Right? This lovely tree with its lovely leaves, right? And then this rambling rose, and you wouldn't know looking at it, you'd think the tree was flowering. Right? Oh, that we might all be rambling roses. Right? Flowering for God, producing fruit for Him. And finally, we must persevere. We've got some blueberry plants. Blueberry bushes, and we planted them, and 3 years on, they weren't doing very well. They weren't producing much fruit, they weren't producing many shoots, they weren't growing very well. So I read all the books, and they said they needed a very acid soil. So I got myself a soil testing kit. And guess what? The soil where I put them, it wasn't very acid. So you know what I did? With the aid of my good assistant. We dug them up, and we had a bag of ericaceous compost, and we planted them in a different area with some soil that is very acid. And put the ericaceous. That was last year. Now this year, I'll find out if it's done any good. If it hasn't, you know what's going to happen. I'm not saying we're like that in this church. But we have to persevere. I could have just thrown the plants out, couldn't I? I could have given up on them. But I wanted to persevere so that I might guess. So we need to persevere. Hebrews again 21 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Let us persevere. Let's keep going. Let's keep meeting together. Let's keep praying. Right? So that we can encourage one another. When the church meets, are you there? Or is it something that you're another meeting? Because sometimes, you know, you can get like that. I get like that sometimes. You know. They've organised another meeting. Eric's been at it again. But we need to be there, don't we? We need to put our input in. When your growth group meets, are you there? Are you encouraging others by being there? Everybody breathe a sigh of relief. Finally. And this is only my fifth point of 10, so don't rush out to make the tea. You ain't going, are you? I give up now. Are you? Cheers. Finally. Not tea time yet. As we grow together, we support one another. The clematis, if left to itself, would just fall on the ground. Right? It needed supporting for it to grow and display itself properly. And we need to support one another. We need to support one another in prayer. We need to support one another by talking to each other. We need to support one another by encouraging one another in the gifts and in the ministry and in our work. You know, there's lots of areas where we can encourage one another. And I just want to get a people that are encouraging and are on fire for God. I better carry. Ephesians 4, says the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. I obtained an old copy of Gray's Anatomy. 1946 is like that. Because I opened it and there it's got pictures of brains and legs and arms and body. And then it shows on all the joints how the muscles and the ligaments hold all the bits together. And as you look to this and you saw it, well, you think, well, if one of them ligaments isn't there, right, then the muscle doesn't work. And the arm don't work properly. You know, your shoulder bone there is only held in by ligaments. I know it's a ball and socket, but it's just like that. And it's all the ligaments that come round there that hold it in that makes it work. And it's the ligaments that mean that the muscles can make it do that. Paul was not daft, he knew it. You know, the Greeks and those, they knew how the body worked. And he said that the whole body, that is the church, right, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Each one of you individually is supporting the whole of the church. Now, I don't want you to collapse under that. But you are vitally important. Right? So that the church does not collapse. So that the body works correctly and properly. Your bit of ligament is holding the body together. So if you're not here, you're not working, you're not there, then guess what? I can't get it up. It isn't working. If you're not doing your bit, the body don't work. That's what Paul said there. He was quite blunt with them. Didn't mess about with them. If you don't do your bit in the church don't work. Not as God intended it. It might get by. Right? If it doesn't work, you've got to the petrol station and it's empty. We drove past Asda's on Friday night and they got closed. No petrol. People were going in, turning around and coming out again. I just hope there was nobody with a red flashing light on the dashboard. But we don't want red flashing lights on our dashboards. Right? We want to be full. We want to be working properly and correctly. We see that we're all held together by every supporting ligament. He tells us that every ligament is essential. Do you need encouragement? Do you want to be an encourager? Do you need to be spurred on? I could offer a kick up the backside, but that's the problem is it's me that's motivated then, not you. Right? Do you have a hindrance that's stopping you fulfill your own potential? Yeah. Let's get real with God. Right? Let's get real with Him. Right? Does God want His church to grow? Yeah. Yeah. Then let's grow together. Let's be people that come together. That encourage one another. And God will work His wonders. Amen. We have to do our bit so that God can do His bit as only He can. Amen.